Well, if you've been following the election, the past 24 hours have been pretty crazy, pretty stressful, but it is a blessing to be able to come into the house of the Lord and be reminded that God is on the throne, and he's never up for re-election, and he's in control, and we can focus on things that matter so much more, on souls and on eternity. So tonight we're going to be looking into the power of speaking the truth. And Pastor was kind of talking about what I was planning on speaking about, the power of speaking the truth. And if there's something we need in today's world, it's people who are not afraid to speak the truth. Amen. A few decades ago, there was a German soldier who became famous for his ability to use words in a powerful way. As he expressed his views of social and political issues, some of his fellow soldiers found his talks inspiring, one calling him a born popular speaker. This gifted orator was Adolf Hitler. His superior officers ordered Hitler to spy on meetings of radical political parties in Germany. One group was called the Nazi Party. During one of his visits to the Nazi Party, he debated against a guest speaker, and that got the attention of one of the Nazi Party leaders, who said, "He has a big mouth. We could use him." He became the leader of the Nazi Party, eventually setting himself ruler over Germany and bringing his murderous ideas into reality. And we've all heard of Hitler and the terrible things he did, and it's caused many people to study his life and to wonder, why did people follow Hitler? Well, obviously it wasn't because he was a good person. You know, he did terrible things. It wasn't because he was a brave person. He ended up committing suicide. Why did people follow Hitler? It was because of his ability to use his words in a powerful way. And words are very powerful. In the Bible, God used words to bring the universe into existence. Now, he could have just willed it into existence, but instead, he used words to bring the universe into existence. Now, why did he do that? Well, one reason may be because it illustrates the power of the truth. It illustrates the power of God's word. God's word creates reality. God's word isn't limited by reality. It creates reality. God's word isn't limited by the creation. It creates. Whenever there's people who stand against God's word, it's a contradiction. They're creatures standing against the creator, the very person who created them with his word. And as believers, as Christians, made in the image of God, we have that role of standing in the place of God and using his word to speak to others. Jesus is pictured in John chapter 1, and we talked about this a little bit in missions conference. He is the word. He's the revealer of God. When he came to earth, he came to preach. When Jesus came and was born of a virgin, he came to preach the gospel, to use words to change people's lives. And we're Christians. We are little Christs. The name Christians means that we are following in the path of Christ. We're given that same commission to use our words, to use the truth, to use the word of God to change people's lives and to change reality, to change the world around us into what God wants it to be. We have the power with the gospel to change people's very understanding of God, to be able to share with them the gospel so that they can put their trust in God and change their eternal destinies. It's a great power that we have because words are powerful. How powerful are words? Well, in Psalm 138, 2, the psalmist says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise the name of thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Now, I think we'd all agree that God's name is very valuable. In fact, whenever the scribes would copy the old text of the Bible, they would, whenever they came to the word of God's name, they would stop what they were doing, and they'd take a ritual bath, then they'd come back and write God's name. Because they knew that it was valuable. They knew that they weren't worthy even to write the name of God. And even to this day, Hebrew people won't say, religious practicing Jews won't say the name of God out of respect. Because they knew that as humans, we're not even worthy to even say the name of God. But yet this verse says that God's word is even above that. God's word is valuable. It is powerful. Words are so powerful that almost everything that we know is a result of something that we've heard. We're all here today saved because we heard someone tell us the gospel, unless we read it in God's word on our own. But for most of us, someone preached us the gospel and that changed our lives. Think of how powerful that one encounter with the gospel was to change your eternal destiny. Words are powerful. Frederick II, another German king in the 1300s, I believe, he tried an experiment. He was wondering what language a baby would speak if no one talked to a baby. So he had, I think, around 50 babies, and he ordered that the babies be fed and, you know, kept alive, but no one could touch or talk to them. Because he wanted to see what language these babies would speak. But it's actually only a matter of a few weeks where all of those babies died. Because no one was talking with them. They didn't have a reason to live. Words are powerful. Words are so powerful, they, you know, for a baby, if there's no influence in their life, if there's no input into their life, they'll just give up on life. Words are powerful. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. We can turn there. Acts chapter 5, a familiar story. Here in the early church, Ananias and Sapphira were members of that early church there in Jerusalem. And it says in verse number 1 here in Acts chapter 5, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. I don't know about you, but I've never sold a property and given a large portion of it to the church. And here, Ananias and Sapphira did something that most of us haven't done. In fact, they gave so much money that, you know, conceivably it was enough to cover the full price of that property. They thought they could get away with it. But instead of praising them for their sacrifice, they were punished with death for lying. And it was all because that one little word, when Peter asked them, "Have you sold it for so much?" They said, "Yes, we sold it for that much." And with that one little word came death. When the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, it's true. One word can change your life. Saying yes to God can change your life. Saying no to God can change your life. Saying yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Saying yes when He convicts you of your need for salvation. Saying yes when He convicts you of your need to surrender to Him. One word can change your life. One word can also bring death. When you say no to God, consequences will come. Your life will be destroyed. And Proverbs talks extensively about how death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you make foolish choices, your life will be destroyed. Words are powerful. And obviously, the most powerful word that could ever be spoken is the gospel. The gospel goes forward through words. Romans 10, 13 and 14, we talked about this in missions conference. How can they hear without a preacher? How can your neighbors know the gospel unless you talk to them about the Lord? How will someone in another country who has no access to the gospel hear unless someone goes over there and tells them? Well, they can't. It's only through the power of words that salvation can come. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Words are powerful. Words are so powerful, they can change your eternal destiny. Words are powerful. Number two, words are dangerous. Words are dangerous. James 3, 1 through 9. Familiar passage here, James 3, 1 through 9. Talking about the danger of our words. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." And so it talks about how dangerous the tongue is. It's a fire. It's hard to control. If a fire gets out of control, it can cause great destruction. We could see that in California every so many years when a wildfire comes. It brings destruction, devastation. It causes death. That's what the Bible says our tongue is like. If it gets out of control, it can cause serious destruction. It can bring death. The tongue is something that should be controlled. It has the picture there of a ship, of a horse, and how even though the steering mechanism of that object is so small, yet it can control such a large thing. You know, a horse is a very strong, powerful animal, yet it can be controlled by a very small bit. You know, maybe for in our day, we think about how a car is driven by a steering wheel. And every day, we drive a car with, you know, over 100 horsepower with a steering wheel. something that can cause great destruction or death. Yet we don't even think about it because we're used to it being under control. Well, our tongue is something that, if it gets out of control, is very dangerous. It causes great destruction. Think of how many sins we commit with our words. Look at Romans 1, 28 through 32. Romans 1 is talking about the people who God gives up to their sin. Romans 1, verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, lying, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things." And there's several things there in that list that have to do with our words. Boasting, being proud, debating, being deceitful, whispering, being a gossip, different things like that. There's so many different ways we use our words in a sinful way because our tongue is hard to control. Our tongue can cause great destruction. But there is a solution to controlling our tongue. And that's in Romans 6, just a few chapters over. Romans 6, 19 says, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness." What it's talking about here is replacing your master of sin with the master of Jesus Christ and making Jesus the Lord of your life, making Jesus the commander of your tongue, the commander of your words. Instead of lying and deceiving and, gossiping behind people's back, we are commanded to use our words in a positive way, to edify people, to speak the truth, to correct when needed, to preach the gospel. We're supposed to replace those sinful habits with the commands of the Lord. We're supposed to yield our whole body, including our mouth, including the words we say to the Lord. So even though our words are dangerous, there is a solution. And then, so we saw how words were powerful and words are dangerous. But another thing to consider here is that silence is also dangerous. Silence is also dangerous. Look at Psalm 32, 1 through 5. Says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night my hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned unto the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah." So it's talking about the difference here between the joy of saying the truth to the Lord and the pain and the conviction that comes when you try to cover your sin. The Bible says, whoever covers their sin will not prosper. And here David is talking about how whenever he was keeping silence, whenever he didn't want to admit the truth, his bones waxed old. He was under conviction. And we need to learn whenever the Spirit is speaking to us, that's not the time to be silent. That's not the time to ignore the Lord. That's the time to go to the Lord and confess our sin and be open to Him. And obviously it doesn't work to lie to the Lord, but every one of us has tried to do that, has tried to ignore reality and said, I don't need to address this in my life. I'll be okay. I'll just ignore that and that problem will go away. That sin will go away. But the Bible says, unless you uncover your sin and deal with it, you're not going to prosper. It's not going to go away. And a lot of times we'll lie to the Lord. We'll also lie to ourselves. We'll try to deceive ourselves and say everything is okay. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So it's possible to deceive ourselves. And then in Acts 18:9, it says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Here in Acts, Paul was wondering whether he should go back out into the city and preach. And the Lord spoke to him and said, yes, you need to go out and preach. You don't need to keep silence. I have much people in this city that need to hear the gospel. So it's never good to keep silent and not preach the gospel when the Lord is leading us to. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. We have a commission. Here Paul said that he had a commission, but it really applies to all believers who have received the Great Commission to go and preach the gospel. And if we don't go and preach the gospel, if we don't be a witness of the truth, then we're not obeying the Lord. We're not being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. We heard in the missions conference that we are witnesses. We are witnesses to the Lord. But a witness does no good unless he speaks. If you had a trial, and you know the judge was there and the jury was there, and the lawyer said, you know, called up a witness, and the witness was in the box, and the witness didn't say anything, it wouldn't do anything for the trial, would it? Well, we're witnesses for the Lord. If we don't say anything about the Lord, if we don't say how he has changed our lives, we're not a witness. We could say we are, but we're not acting like a witness. We're not obeying the Lord. You know, too many believers are silent about the gospel. Too many churches are silent about the truth. We live in a world where the devil and his lies are rampant. In universities, in schools, on TV, in movies, in entertainment, everywhere you look, the devil's message is getting out. People who live their life for the world are not afraid to speak what they think, even though it's lies. They're not afraid to give you their opinion on anything. But so often we as Christians are afraid to speak the truth. But it's only when we speak the truth that we can see change, that we can see souls saved, that we can see revival. And, you know, things are chaotic in our world today, and, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty about the future. But really, we can put all that aside to some extent and just focus on one thing, and that's being a witness for the Lord, speaking the truth. And the truth is powerful. Our words are powerful. And when we speak the truth, things will happen. Revival will come. Souls will be saved. And that's what we are commanded to do here. So let's think about that as we go throughout our week, and we'll close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I just pray, Lord, that we would boldly proclaim the truth. Lord, depend on you for strength, and Lord, just lead us to people who are hungry for the truth, Lord. I pray that you would work now through the prayer time, to follow here, Lord, and work in this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.